Matthew 9, why don't you stand, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. And notice, if you would, please, verse 35, a familiar portion of Scripture. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Thank you. You may be seated. We find here, to me, one of the greatest portions of Scripture about evangelism. And we find our Lord reveals his heart to us. He says that when he looked upon the multitudes, moved with compassion. But notice the first thing we see here is what he saw. And that's important, to see what Jesus sees. And we find here that he went about all the cities and the villages. See, this ought to be our thought, beloved, as a church, that we need to get into all the cities on Long Island, all the parts of the city in New York City. And we've got to do more than get the gospel. I was so refreshed when I came back Friday night, I think it was, or yesterday, I don't remember, but I walked into the building and saw a half the track rack close to it with all the tracks gone. And that's an encouraging sign. We want to be looking for opportunities to witness for Christ, reaching people with the gospel. We cannot go on like Calvinists and thinking that, you know, whatever will be, will be. We need to be involved. Notice the Son of God, what he did. He went to the cities, the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That is our responsibility. And if you're Christ-like, if you're like Jesus, you're going to be a witness. You're going to tell others about the Lord. You're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So the second thing we see here, also verse 36, where he saw the multitudes. That's what Jesus saw. He saw the multitudes. And what happened? Moved with compassion on them. Why? Because of their condition. The condition. That's what moved Jesus. It wasn't their looks. It wasn't their talents. It wasn't their ability, their clothing. He said they had fainted. Why? They're weak in themselves. He says, because they fainted, were scattered abroad, sheep having no shepherd. See, that's what Jesus saw, and that's what moved him. It wasn't because he was a sweet old man, a sweet old woman, a nice-looking family. He wasn't moved by those things. He was moved by their condition. And I think that's a very important point as soul winners. You've got to be moved, not by the looks of someone, but by their condition. See, if you don't look upon the condition and look upon them as sinners separated from God, you're not going to see them for what they are. And then you're a witness, and your evangelism is going to be moved by the flesh and not the spirit. Does that make sense to you this afternoon? You see, it's so important, beloved, to be moved by people's condition. Now, I'm just going to tell you my heart. I'm a very honest man. I was talking to one of the stewards on the flight coming back from the States. And I have to tell you that the Middle East people are difficult people to deal with. Very difficult. And I asked the man, I said, what's the most difficult? He flies all over the world. I said, what's the most difficult flight? He said, this one. He said, these people are unreasonable at times. Beloved, I'm telling you, the plane's landing, all of a sudden someone stands up, they're trying to get their bags out. I mean, the plane's landing. Plane's taking off. They're walking around. They want to get their briefcase. They want to hang on that briefcase. You know, he's supposed to put it in the seat, up in the cabinet above. I mean, they're unreasonable. They all of a sudden, the plane's landing. They want to go to the bathroom, comb their hair or something. I don't know what they're doing. And next thing you know, they get up and start walking. They say, please be seated. Please be seated. And then they're dirty. I don't know how else to say it. Do you know what Muslims believe? They believe that if they eat halal meat, that's like what the rabbis do for their meat, it's kosher. Halal means the imam has blessed it. And because they don't have to wear any deodorant or anything like that. That's a bad move. Bad move. They don't believe they smell. Now, I don't believe. I know they do. I mean, that verse kept coming to my mind every time they walked past me. Behold, he stinketh. Behold, she stinketh. And they weren't even buried. Amen? So the point is this, is that they're very difficult. But see, I couldn't look at them by their looks. I had to look at their condition. Some of the women, I thought for sure there were men dressed up in these black outfits. I'm not trying to be funny, I'm telling you. Short, you know, mean-looking women. But they're probably mean-looking because their husband made them mean-looking. I don't know. But I couldn't look at them, be moved. I had to look at their condition. They're lost. They don't know any better. They don't have any sense about them. Just like the Bible says, they're wild men. So I wasn't moved by the way they dressed or their facial features. I was moved by their condition. That's how you have to look at people. Their condition. They're lost. They're without Christ. The Bible says they're weak. They're without. They're scattered. They're sheep with no shepherd. Beloved, I have to tell you that there was one of the most disturbing scenes I've ever seen in my whole life. We had gone to the meeting place, the morning service, we were done, walked down this alleyway, come out to the main street, and the sidewalks go up, and we're standing there waiting for our driver to come. Nathaniel called him, he's parked down somewhere waiting for us, and all of a sudden out of my left side I hear this, and I'm going to try to imitate it best I can, hear this screaming, Allah! 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 That went on for 10 minutes. I looked down to my left. There was a man with his legs folded in an Indian style. All he had was a piece of cloth around his waist. Nothing else. No shoes, nothing for his legs, nothing for his chest. No hat on. Continually screaming with a raspy voice, Allah! 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 In desperation. I looked at him in my glasses. I looked and I didn't know what it was at first. I've seen people in Bangladesh with mold all over their body where you barely can make out their face, their eyes. Not sure where the mouth is, not sure where the nose is, just covered with mold. They look like just a blob of mold. And there they are begging for someone to have mercy on them. I looked down. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't figure it out. As he got closer, apparently he had his brother holding his brother with one arm. The brother's legs, one leg up here, one leg around here, his body draping over him, his head down by his hips. He's sitting on the sidewalk, just kind of crawling down the street. He had a little basket in his hand, asking for money. But he didn't ask, he just cried out, Allah, Allah. And as he got closer, I don't know what happened to his brother. He was not tied to his hip or physically attached. But he was carrying his brother. I thought to myself, first of all, I have to tell you, beloved, it was very disturbing. I've never seen anything like close to that in the United States. And the screaming that went on for, like I said, 10 minutes. It didn't stop. We got in the car. I looked over. He's still crying out. People passing him by, all these Muslims, not even stop and had mercy on him to put money in his plate. And the man crying out from his soul. I said, Nathaniel, what is this? He said, I don't know, brother. He said, this is common to us. He said, I don't mean to be hard-hearted, but it's common to us. He said, we see this all the time. The condition. And here's a man who's blind on top of that, crying out to a false god. And who's going to reach him? He's going to go through life and in such a miserable state. And then he's going to die and go to hell. See, you cannot look at people, beloved, because they're odd looking or they're different culture. You've got to look at their condition. Sheep, no shepherd. That's why we've got to tell them about Jesus. We see what he saw and we see what Jesus said here. And he said, then saith he to the disciple, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I just put this in biblical perspective. So many of us live our lives for our houses, for our cars, for the things that are going to pass away. We put a lot of stock in it. We invest a lot of money in these things. And I'm not condemning anyone. I'm telling you, there's not a person here I'd condemn for what you drive or where you live. Not a one. But what I am saying is this. When we get on the other side, we're going to be judged for our lives, for our faithfulness. Hear me out now. And what we could do. Now, if you think I'm speaking to people who are better off than you are, I'm not. I'm speaking to us. I'm speaking to my family. We could always do more. We can always give more. See, that's what lasts. It's what we send up to heaven in our tithe and offerings, in our sacrifice for the Lord, for His house. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. As much as we realize they're false religions and they take people's money, you know where our money goes. It goes into the work of the Lord. There's no, yacht fund. You know how I am. You know my investment in this work. And that's what we're going to be held accountable for. Not how much we did for ourselves, what we did for the Lord. And the Bible tells us here, our Lord expresses His heart, the harvest truly is plenteous, but what? The laborers are few. That's of all the things Jesus said, He was saying about the need for laborers, the need for workers, the need for witnesses, the need for evangelism. The laborers are few. Now I want to challenge each one of us to consider this personally. The laborers are few. To those of you lost, you ought to be saved and join the Lord's church and serve God the rest of your days. You're pining away. You're wasting away. You're given a precious days that could be used for Christ that you're using for yourself and your excuses for not being saved. Amen. And you're going to give an account for that at the great white throne, or if you get saved at the judgment seat. That's why God says now is accept time. Stop making your excuses while you're not saved. And then for us who are saved, who've been bought, the precious blood of Jesus. Listen to me now. What are you investing your days in? You've got to answer that question. What are you investing your time in? Harvest is plenteous. Labors a few. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, if some have not the knowledge of God, I count it your shame. That's how I feel about our church in Long Island, New York City. And he said, preacher, that's millions of people. Yeah. And we're the Lord's church. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. You have not because you ask not. And I say to this, the Long Island Baptist Church, it's time for you and I to kick it up and get busy witnessing for Christ. Getting people. This place ought to be filled. This place ought to be filled. It's a good church. Good families. Good people. Good message. Scriptural church. But you and I have got to do more and work harder than ever before to get people to the house of God and get them saved. If there's a weakness in our church, as much as we're doing missions, we need home missions. You need you and we need to fill up these rows here. There ought not be, we ought to be putting more chairs in our auditorium. Filling this place up. Matter of fact, Brother Fryman is going to be moving to another location. Next week's the last week and they have all those blue chairs just like ours. And I'm saying to myself, you know, we need to buy them back from them or have them, lend them to us and fill this place up. Shouldn't be an empty chair in here. Every service. But see, we become at ease in Zion, as the Bible says. We become lackadaisical. We become easy. Oh, we got a good church. We're getting fed. preacher loves us, gives us good message, challenges us, so on and so forth. But that's not the purpose, beloved, just our own individual growth. It's here what Jesus had to say here when he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Then last of all, what he asked for our supplication, he said in verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. He'll send forth laborers into his harvest. What does God emphasize? Someone tell me in verse 38, what's he emphasizing here? I'm not sure I heard you, but prayer. Pray. He saw the condition. He said what he saw. And now he's asking us to supplicate. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of harvest. Beloved, I appreciate everyone's support, your kind words to Brother Inkstead and I and so on. And to me, it was a privilege to go and preach. It's not an easy thing. I'm not looking for a sympathy. I'm really tired right now. And it's going to take me a good week to get myself back together because your body gets mixed up. And it's not easy being over there. There are difficulties, challenges. But I count it a privilege that God would allow me to see this taking place and to be reported back to our church. But that has happened over there because we prayed. They prayed. If anything else is going to happen, beloved, it's going to come from our church being obedient to the call to prayer. Now, the American way is throw money at it and try to help out. And those things are good. But that's not enough. That's not enough. The first thing is prayer. Nadim's going to have success in Pakistan. It's going to be you and I praying for Brother Nadim. God opened up his understanding. Remember that. God opened up his understanding. He'd understand the scriptures. He'd understand the leadership of the Spirit. He would understand God's direction in his life. Pray you therefore to the Lord of harvest that has sent forth laborers in the harvest. We need to pray for that here. We need to pray for Brother Jonathan, Brother Luke, Brother Stephan, that God would help these men to develop, become preachers. Amen? Just doesn't happen. It takes work. It takes development. As good a message as there are, there's a lot of development needs just take place in their lives. We need that. But it comes by prayer. Just not teaching. Prayer. And so our responsibility, beloved, if we're going to see the church in Riverhead really succeed, the work in the city among the Bangladeshis really develop and succeed, seeing people say it's going to come by prayer. And there, that's nothing, beloved, when you compare the whole world. I think we ought to be praying for that man. I didn't know his name. In Botswana. I don't think it's a coincidence Brother Gary Kastner has gone there. And we're going to get them in touch with each other. And I know Brother Gary's going to reach him with the gospel. I believe that. The guy's wide open. Wide open. He's got all this material wealth right now. He's not a wealthy man, but he's better off than the average man. He's looking. I don't believe it's a coincidence at all. 180 million people, and we just happen to see him going into Bangladesh and then see him the morning that we're leaving, and he comes up to us. And here's our problem. Time. Time. We're running out of time. How much time we have? I don't know. Today may be our last day. Maybe another 10 years. I don't know. I don't think it's that long. But I don't know. I'm asking you to pray for God's power in our services. To pray for these different ministries. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for laborers. Pray for men to be called. Men to rise up and be laborers. And they may never wind up in the ministry, but they're going to labor for the Lord in the New Testament church. And reach people with the gospel of Christ. Our time is running out. We've got to do what we can do now. Now, today. We're looking for opportunities to reach people with the gospel. And they're not going to respond because of, you know, how you're dressed or your cologne or perfume or or what you drive, you know, respond to the Spirit as He speaks to their hearts. And that's why we've got to be filled with Jesus Christ. Let's stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around. Father, we ask that you bless this invitation and hear our prayers. I pray, Father.